Sorry, my timer. All right. Seems like we've talked quite a bit about the message already, so I won't keep you very long. But what I want to talk about tonight is the fact I am somebody. And I'm going to be coming out of Luke chapter 12 to start with. But like Pam was talking about, it's easy to get down on yourself and to feel like you're a nobody. You can be in a crowded room and feel all alone. I can't count the number of times that has happened to me. Or if you don't feel all alone, maybe you feel out of place. And Sister Nita, I think that might have been the reaction your friend had when you asked for them to pray. They probably felt out of place. But then all of a sudden they realized, oh, wait a minute, I am somebody who can pray or who can witness, who can make the phone call, who can give out the prayer requests. I am somebody. I am somebody who can do something. And so basically that's what we've been talking here this evening is being doers of the word and not just hearers only. Oh, it's great to hear a good message. I love when I preach a message and people say, oh, great job, Earl, great job, Earl. And I'm trying my best, and I'm not criticizing any of you guys. I'm trying my best to not let pride get in the way. But, oh, what a joy it is to say somebody goes, you know, I've heard that sermon time and time again, but I've never heard it explained like that before. And I'm thinking, well, thank God, because it wasn't me. I preach on myself. So I read in the book the other night, I was even mentioned that in my prayer, and it talked about when Jesus was walking and he looked out over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. And the book said, when's the last time you wept for your community, for your family, for your lost souls, for the people? Now, I know some people in here have wept daily. But I had to confess then, and I did it tonight, that it had been a long time since I wept for lost souls. So I've been drawing near to God and asking Him to give me, one, a broken heart for the things that breaks His heart. And so tonight, I want to emphasize, hopefully it'll be of some encouragement to you, is that you are somebody. You're not just here in this place by accident. You're here, I believe, because the Lord has drawn you here. And I believe that if we internalize this message and carry it with us, that it will help us a lot. So in our first scripture reading, it says this. Jesus is speaking in Luke chapter 12, verse 6, he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And a farthing is a copper coin, so 2 copper coins. And not one of them, get this, he's talking about some birds. And not only about some birds, he's talking about some birds that are getting ready to be offered up for a sacrifice. In some places it says pigeons or doves or something like that, but it's a sacrifice. Why else would you buy sparrows? Sparrows aren't very big. But there's some people who are poor, and they can't afford offering up a lamb or a goat or a bull, a bullock. They can't afford it. So the law allows them that if you can't afford it, you can offer up sparrows or pigeons. Did y'all notice in the reading of the gospel, and I might be digressing a little bit, but when Mary and Joseph went to make their offering, do you know what their offering was? Birds. You know what that tells me? Hey, we're poor as dirt. Hey, we're in good company, aren't we? They were poor. They could only offer up birds. So Jesus is saying, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? That tells me God has an immense intellect, that He even notices the birds. He feeds them. And He notices these offerings. But He doesn't leave us there. He says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, some of us, that's getting easier and easier, right? Fingers are going like this. I see them, they're going like this. I love for my head to be touched, and I love for my hair to be rubbed. A shampoo, if I go to the place to get my hair cut and they wash my hair, it's like heaven. I'm just laying back, but the thing is, it don't last long enough. And I'm sitting there, and my little girl, my little granddaughter will touch my hair and says, Pawpaw, how come you don't have any hair right there? She just spoiled my head rub. So it's getting easier and easier to count the hairs, but look at the detail. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So the Lord is telling us this for encouragement. When we get down, when we get discouraged, and we get in despair, sometimes grief overtakes us. Grief can overtake you, folks. I've been there, and I know what it feels like to grieve even before somebody passes away. Even before. And when, especially when people are sick with cancer or sick with something, and I heard y'all mention about the hospice. Oh, that word just bothers me to no end, because I had to go through that. I know what it feels like. But Jesus is telling us, He says, fear not, therefore. He says, for you are of more value than many sparrows. He's saying, look, I pay attention to the details of even the birds and the number of hairs on your head. He said, I've got everything down to the minute detail. Don't you worry, He's saying. Don't worry, because you are somebody. He's telling us that. You are somebody. Now, you might not feel like it some days. You might not feel like it, and I know I've gone through this. And you brought up the question, I think, Pam. I think it was you. One of you brought up the question. You have this God-sized void. How do you fill it? And that's the thing that the culture today, especially in America, but all over the world, is trying to find an answer to that question. How do you feel? And I do believe, since we were made in God's image, and I believe that, I believe we were created, not evolved, we were made in God's image, I believe He placed an emptiness inside us that only He can feel, that only He can satisfy. Because He said, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But look at all the people who are trying to fill it with alcohol, with drugs, or with opioids and medication and whatever else that can distract their attention. And they're just trying to fill up their time and just get through the day. Just make it through the day. And then tomorrow, get up and do it all over again. They're just trying to fill up that void. Well, I can answer that question. I can answer that question with this. For Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now, I don't know if anybody here raises grapes or anything that has vines on it. But Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener. He's the caretaker of the crop. And so Jesus says, I'm the true vine. So think about this for a second. He's drawing a word picture. He's the true vine. And he says, and every branch in me, okay, that's all of us in here, all of us believers of Jesus Christ, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, I don't like the next part. He taketh away. Let that sink in, folks. Every branch in him that bears not fruit, he takes it away. That branch. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a separation from Jesus Christ. I know some people believe once saved, always saved. I'm telling you, that line right there tells me the exact opposite. Because even after this, it'll prove it, I believe. But the big issue is, what fruit? What are you talking about? What fruit? Joy, peace, love. The fruits of the Spirit, folks. Paul gives a list. I know some people who like to hold on to a good grudge, to a good mad. But we can't. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's a very sobering statement he just said. But he continues, and he said, and every branch that beareth fruit, okay, now I like that. We're branches in Jesus Christ. He's the vine, and we're bearing fruit. You were bearing some fruit when you were witnessing, and you saw the tears come down. That's bearing fruit. It says he purges it. What's he talking about? He sort of makes your situation kind of, I like to call it tight. You might face some adversity. Some kind of hindrance, like you talked about. There's people who were in the midst, unbelievers. And the first thing they want to do is condemn you or bring up something long ago you did. Oh, I used to be told all kinds of things. But it said, if you bear fruit and you abide in him, he says, you can be purged, that it might bring forth more fruit. It's like you said, Brother Charles, we need to have a heart for lost souls. The fruit, to bear fruit, to call people, to witness to people, and to just fellowship with people is a part of the kingdom of bearing fruit, witnessing to people like you did with that message. Thank you very much. I'm glad it was helpful. I hope it was. Hope it was. That it might bring forth more fruit. So you are somebody in Jesus Christ. But every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. But if you bear some fruit, he's going to purge it. He's going to work it. He's going to mold it. Might not feel good. Not at the time. Glenn, I hope y'all don't mind, hope you don't mind me using your situation, but I think he kind of wrenched what you guys were going through until it finally came through. Thank the Lord, right? Sometimes we have to go through that.
Sometimes we don't want to wait, you know.
I never want to wait.
But if we wait on God and trust him,
he will bring it to pass. He will. And I got a scripture here in a minute that'll talk about that. But see, the thing is, it don't feel good at the time. I'm telling you, when I have to wait, I'm a fast food type person, you know, Deronda is too. We like answers like, right now, God, right now, God. I mean, I've got prayers I've been praying for a couple of years now, still hadn't come to pass, although one of them's getting ready to, I think. Harold's on my prayer list. My nephew. Anyway. So that ought to be a sobering verse for all of us in here. For every branch in me, he says, that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And he's talking about the father, the husbandman. He's the gardener. All right, let me get through this here. I know everybody's tired, and so am I, but I love the Lord. I love the Lord. So he says to his disciples, he says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." So the word of Jesus Christ will wash us clean. When you witness somebody according to the word, not according to what, "Oh, well, I think this. I think this is how you ought to dress. I think this is how you ought to behave." No, 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 no. What does the word say? The word is our standard. Okay, if it's not in the word, I don't want to teach in anything else. So he's saying here, Jesus, because you are somebody, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And here it comes, folks. And this is the hard part. And this is the part I think, Tom, you kind of brought up. A lot of people have passed through these doors, and I've been disheartened and discouraged that they haven't remained. But Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you." It's a two-way street, folks. It's a two-way street. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch, who's the branch? That's us. Exactly right, Glenn. We are. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. How many times have I tried to witness to somebody under my own power? How many times have I tried to do something under my own self-righteousness? And try to maybe rebuke somebody with my own self-righteousness. I tell you, folks, there's a scripture in the Bible that says all of our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. When you compare it to God's righteousness, we have no righteousness. So he's saying here, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, so we cannot, I want to stress this, of our own power and of our own means, just rush in and try to do God's work without Him. He might be saying, "Not yet, Earl." Or, "I have a different way, Earl." Or, maybe you say a phone call. Maybe it takes a visit. Maybe it takes a visit. Maybe it takes a phone call and a visit. Maybe it takes a card, a letter. You know, this is no... I know we have technology and I love technology, but I love getting handwritten letters. I don't like getting typed letters. I know it's much faster, and I've done it myself, typed up a letter and sent it off to somebody. But I love getting handwritten letters. Somebody took the time to sit down and write their thoughts and their feelings about me or about the situation or something out longhand. And so here, if you abide in Jesus Christ and He's in you, then you won't be able to do this by yourself, except it abide in the vine. In other words, I have to stay remaining in the vine. I can't attach myself to the vine today and then tomorrow forget all about it. And then come back next Sunday and attach myself to the vine. It don't work like that, folks. Not at all. We're just fooling ourselves. Because you have to abide. Abide means staying. Come to live with. It's a permanent residence. Abiding in the vine. And then it said, no more can you except. He's talking about you can't do anything else except you abide in me. Wow, whole lot in those few scriptures. There's a whole lot I could preach on in those few scriptures. So my point, my takeaway for this is that, one, you are somebody. Jesus has every detail that he needs about you and your life and your situation. And we worry about these things. We concern ourselves over these things. And I know some people, I've had to pray that same prayer when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he come down and there was this man who had a demon-possessed son, and he asked the disciples, the nine disciples that were still down at the bottom of the mountain, he asked them to cast the demon out of his son. They couldn't do it. And the man, God love him, because it's kind of like what we do. Lord, if there's anything you can do. Have you ever asked God that? Lord, if you could just help me out. Lord, if there's something you can do for me right now. And he looked at the man, he says, if. He said, there's nothing impossible to them that believe. And he said, I know, Lord. I'm paraphrasing. I know, Lord. But what did he say after that? Help thou my unbelief. He said, I believe. But at the same time, part of him didn't, or at least partly doubted. I can tell you some other examples where Jesus, when he was talking about some things, especially in, I think it was in John, I want to say chapter 6, that might be that very long chapter of John, where Jesus said, I'm the bread from heaven, and unless you eat of this flesh and drink of my blood, you can't be a part of me. And everybody was like, whoa, what's this guy saying? Does he want us to become cannibals? How's he going to give his flesh to eat? This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And everybody's turned around and stopped following him no more. Oh, that was one of the saddest verses in the scripture. And I can just picture in my mind, because he must have looked over at his disciples, and they were scratching their heads too, getting rid of a few more of those hairs. Like, what? What's he talking about? Who are we following? Because, you know, they had the same problem understanding it. And he asked them, he said, what, does this offend you too? He said, does this offend you? And Peter, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? He said, we know, and this is something I like about Peter. He kind of was the spokesman for the group. He would say things sometimes just too quickly. But he said, Lord, you have the words of life. To whom shall we go? And then, I think in the very next verse or very close to it, it said, and some doubted. Yep. I'm going to bring that up in a message, by the way. Keep that thought in mind, because I do believe there are some things, some people that can only be reached through prayer and fasting, a combination. And I'm going to have a series of messages on fasting. And I know, Nolan, me and you have a hard time because of our sugar, you know. But I proved to myself I can fast. Now, I know some people have medical conditions. They cannot. But, and it's not a fast in the same technical sense of doing without food, but you can remove all the distractions from yourself, TV, cell phones, whatever it is, game consoles. I mean, you name it. You can remove all these distractions and seek the Lord. Sometimes the Lord's over there and he's talking to you, but you can't hear him because of the distractions. All these distractions. And so what I started doing, I read in Samuel, when the Lord was calling Samuel's name, he would run to Eli and he would say, here I am, master, you called for me. And he said, no, I didn't. Go back to bed. But he probably said, you're hearing things, kid. You're hearing things. And so he comes back, he hears the name Eli. So he jumps out of bed, rushes to Eli. He says, "You called me, master. I heard it." "No, I didn't." I think he did that three times. And then finally, Eli, here he is, the priest. Okay, he's the priest. And he's finally getting a clue. Wait a minute. And it makes me wonder how long it's been since Eli's heard the voice of God. Anyway, he said, "Next time you hear your name, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant listens.'" That's what I pray sometimes, Deronda. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. When we have our prayer time, sometimes God wants to get a word in edgewise, but I'm too busy praying and asking. And so what I have taught myself to do is to stop for just a few minutes and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." And guess what happens? Usually, somebody will come to my mind that I wasn't thinking about earlier. Tom, people I haven't seen in a while. People that I start suddenly remembering, because we were talking earlier about our memories and names and things like that. And I have a tough time. I really do. And unless I write things down, I tell people, if I didn't write it down, if you ask me for something, Jim, if you ask me for a CD and I don't write it down, it never happened. That's how I look at it. If I don't write it down, it never happened. But no, I did finally remember to get it. But the thing is, that's my point. I got to write things down. So I say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens." And the Holy Spirit will bring remembrance of all things Jesus said, is what he told the disciples. But I think it goes further than that. I think he'll bring remembrance to other things that's going on in our life that we can do. Maybe something we hadn't thought about in for years. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can get a word in edgewise. That's why sometimes he speaks to people in dreams, because he can't get you to stop talking long enough to listen. But my problem I have is when the Lord speaks to me in dreams, I don't understand the dreams. Anyway, different subject altogether. But let me wrap up with this, okay? So the fact of the whole message I'm trying to tell you is the Lord is saying you are somebody. Especially you are somebody if you remain in Him. Because if you bring forth fruit, He'll work with you. He'll work it. He'll shape you and bring forth more fruit, because that's the whole goal, is to bring forth more fruit. And I would love to see this place filled up on a Wednesday night with people who are seeking God, or even if we could just, I don't know, just worship Him. Not even without a message, just worship the Lord. Worship Him. Say again?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve? Yeah. Well, they finally come to worship Him. They did. But I want to give this last scripture, and then I'll close. I'll close with prayer for the CD's sake, and then I'll open it up for prayer for anybody who wants it. But here it is again in the Old Testament. It says, "For His anger endureth but for a moment." This is that purging. This is that trial, this wringing that you might be going through right now. It don't feel good at the moment. "For His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life." He wants you to have life and more abundantly. More. So he's saying here that the weeping may endure for a night. Now, we know that sometimes the weeping can endure for many nights, especially when there's people out there that we love and we want to come home to the Lord. We weep for them. But it's metaphorically here, is that weeping may endure for a night, for a short time, or for a duration here, but joy Oh, thank the Lord. Joy cometh in the morning. It's what you said. He's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. But I have to ask Him to help mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. But then I sometimes doubt. Forgive me, Lord. I sometimes doubt. Because I feel like I'm too close to the situation. And I have to step back and I say, Lord, I lay this at your feet. And you know what the worst thing about that is you go back and you pick it up again. Oh, how many times have I done that? I'm going to close in prayer. If you would, please stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for these words. They encourage my heart. I hope they encourage other people's hearts. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us a heart that it will be passionate for lost souls, especially lost souls, people we haven't seen in a while, that we will not only think on them, but we will take action, Lord, to make that call, to make that visit, to make that letter or something to reconnect and ask them to come back to fellowship, Lord, so that the burning coal will not go out. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Guide us and lead us into all the works that you would have us do. To your glory, for your sake, in Jesus' name, amen.